Bible, friends, is for those of you who are unaware, the Word of God means by which God speaks to, addresses men and women today, just as of old. And if you would like to peruse God's Word, offer of the an extract from the New Testament is offered to you without any charge, any cost or obligation to you. You would like to have one, then feel free to come and ask for one. Gladly place it into your hand for you to read, peruse, and think upon these things that God has revealed to us. Bible is, in fact, the revelation of God Himself, what He is like. He's invisible, Bible tells us, so how would you come to know what He is like? Well, that's the reason why He gave us the Bible. And then, of course, were you to focus... Were you to focus upon the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, that is, you would see there the person of Jesus Christ, who is the express image of God. That's what God is like. Jesus, the one who came full of grace and truth to bring the same to you and I. That through the grace of God you might be forgiven, and that through the truth you might be liberated, set free, that is. And the Bible, of course, God addresses us in many different ways. We love to talk about the cross, the place where sinners are relieved of their burden of sin. We love to talk about the love of God, so precious and true. But there are many other ways, of course, in which God addresses men and women in the Bible. Another way, of course, is to warn them. Some people, of course, in our rather oversensitive, delicate society today, they think that to warn people is a hateful thing. Well, it's not. You see, it's a matter of love to warn people, and especially so when they are in danger, in peril. Those of you who are parents and grandparents will perhaps understand me when I say that there are times when you have to warn your children and your grandchildren. I mean, aren't they so wicked and rebellious in these days? Maybe, perhaps it's something to do with the way that you fetch them up, or rather, drag them up. Instead of teaching them the principles of God's Word, leaving them to their own devices. Little wonder they're so lawless and rebellious. But of course, in spite of all that, you'll know that there are times when you have to warn the little darlings. You know? When they're in that place of endangering themselves. You know, maybe from water or fire. You tell them countless times, again and again, to get away from it. But they take no heed to you. And so you have to lift your voice sometimes. Sometimes you'll find yourself even screaming at them because they're in danger of hurting themselves, the foolish little things. Well, in God's Word, He addresses us likewise, because you see, we are so dumb. We are so stupid in our sin. We are so dull of hearing. We are so rebellious in our ways We don't like to be corrected. We don't like to be told off, you know? And so God sometimes has to warn us. Sometimes He has to threaten us. Sometimes He has to lift His voice. Because we're in danger of hurting ourselves. And not just temporarily, not just physically, but hurting ourselves even eternally. And so it is such a warning that I want to bring to your attention that God gives us this afternoon. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul, says God. He that is who receives, who takes heed to the warning given, shall save his soul. That is, if you listen to God's warning concerning the danger that you're in and that you face, you will save your soul from certain destruction. But be assured, please, won't you, that it is in love that God issues such a warning. For the gospel is yet, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, that is, takes heed to the warning, believeth in Him, shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world. Doesn't have to. We're already self-condemned. But of course, this is the condemnation, and this is the warning, that you have not believed in the name of God's only begotten Son. But he that taketh the warning, God assures us, shall deliver his soul from death. Of course, it's the watchman's duty. And I stand before you as one, only one, not the only one, but one of God's watchmen sent and appointed of God to bring the gospel to you, to sound the alarm, to blow the trumpet, to warn you of the coming danger that is the wrath of God. Because each and every day that you live, you see, in God's world, under His sky, walking His earth and breathing His air, drinking and eating the fare that He provides for you without any thought of God, and your state and condition before God, I assure you there is much danger afoot. And you must need, well, as God demands of you, that is, repent and believe the gospel in order to be saved from that danger. Unbelief, you see, that's the root of the matter. Unbelief, you see, is soul suicide. Now let me ask you, what would you do if one of your offspring was about to commit suicide? Huh? What would you do if you knew about it? Wouldn't you make every effort to stop them? Wouldn't you make every effort to take the rope from round their necks? Wouldn't you make every effort to take the tablets out of their hands to stop them from committing suicide? Well, I'm here to plead with you in love. I'm here to implore you. I'm here to beseech you to be reconciled to God and not to commit soul suicide. Because that's what your unbelief, that's what your unbelief is. You have, you see, no excuse, God says, for your unbelief. It is a suppression of the truth, of the knowledge of God that you have within you, stamped upon your innermost being. It's inescapable.
God bless you, sir. God bless you.
Your mockery, sir, will take you to hell.
I'm not mocking.
So you see, friends, that Unbelief is simply and only a suppression, a holding down of the truth, of the knowledge of God in wickedness, says God. Because He has shown it to you, made it plain to you. He says that you even understand that He is. So why? Whence, I ask you, the unbelief? Is it not your rebellious nature? Is it not that lawlessness within you that rebels against the Almighty like a rebellious teenager stamping your feet and saying, no, I will not do what you tell me to do. I will do my own thing, thank you very much. Well, take heed to the warning. He that taketh the warning shall deliver his soul. Hear the word of God, but neglected, I tell you, and the blood is on your own hand. We come to warn you to flee from the wrath to come. We come to warn you of the danger. Should you fall out of the world in your unbelief, should you fall into eternity in your natural born state, born in sin, conceived in sin, with a sinful nature, unchanged and untreated, I tell you, the end of that will be catastrophic. Your sin one day will take you out of this world, for His wages are yet death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, whom I declare to you here this afternoon. Through Him you could be liberated, set free, forgiven, and brought into the kingdom of God's grace and love, and brought out completely out of all danger whatsoever. That is, if you were to heed the warning, take the warning, you shall deliver your soul. But of course, the very fact that God issues such warnings in His Word, does it not presuppose, you know, that there's some kind of need, you know? That there's some kind of danger, some kind of peril that you're in. And of course there is. You're exposed, you see, to eternal death. Not just the spiritual death that you presently are in, and not just the physical death that is to come eventually, for that must come to all men and all women. It is appointed unto man once to die, says God. It's a divine appointment, you see. There is a time marked in God's calendar. A decade, a year, a month, a week, a day, an hour, a moment marked on God's calendar when you personally will breathe your last and go out of this world. It's inevitable. Ah, but you say, well then, all my troubles will be over. Finito. End of story. Black hole. Nobody knows, because nobody ever came back to tell us what happens afterwards. Yes, they did. Jesus Christ did. And He tells us faithfully in His Word. It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this comes the judgment. You stand before Almighty God, and He will judge you according to what you have done or what you have not done with His Son Jesus Christ, whom He sent into the world to be a Savior of such as you, who caused Him to suffer and to bleed and die and rise again from the dead, that you might be saved from this very imminent danger. Because here is the thing, my friend, you do not know what one single day will bring forth. You don't know how long it will be with you in this world. Who knows, but perhaps maybe someone under the sound of my voice here this afternoon. And this is your last day on planet Earth. A million, trillion ways, I guess, in which the Almighty can remove you from the face of His earth. A gunslinger, maybe. A tiny little insect. An earthquake, a storm, who knows? A disease, a heart attack. In a moment, the flash, you can be gone and lost forever, exposed to eternal death. You see, when the Bible speaks about the wages of sin being death, it speaks of the threefold manner of death. There is the spiritual death, separated, cut off from God here and now in this life. And then the physical death, which must inevitably come to all. And then the inescapable judgment of God. It's all inevitable, you see. You stand before God, and God will dispose of you as He sees fit. You can only, you see, by taking heed to the warning that God gives you, you can only save your soul by embracing God's instruction. And that is, in the first instance, to repent of your sin and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Then, and only then, should you be saved. So you see, the condemnation, Jesus, He tells us in His word that He did not come to condemn. He doesn't have to condemn you. I do not have to condemn you. Already self-condemned as a result of your unbelief, as a result of your holding down the truth in unrighteousness, suppressing the truth in unrighteousness. You see, the blame is your own. When a child is born, before it knows anything, before it speaks its first word, it knows that God is. But friends, here's the problem. Born in sin, conceived in sin, with a sinful nature that must needs be changed, transformed by the power of my gospel. There is no other way, no other instrument by which your nature can be changed. It takes a miracle from God. The supernatural power of God. That's what Jesus means when He says, "Ye must be born again." The nature must be changed. The heart desires must be changed. The entirety of your being must be transformed. And it's only the gospel, the good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ, that can accomplish that for you. Your religious activities will not do it. You can be so devoted to your religion, but that will not put the life of God into your soul. That will not make you a new creature in Jesus Christ. That still leaves you in the danger of being exposed to eternal death. Only Jesus Christ can put eternal life into your soul. The alternative, you see. There's only one alternative to eternal death. And that's eternal life. And only Jesus Christ can give you that. So he that taketh heed to the warning shall deliver his soul. But of course you're given the warning, and you've been given the warning countless times before. I lost count of the number of years that I've been coming here to your town and proclaiming the gospel, declaring the love of God to you, the forgiveness of God to you, the heaven that God would bring you to, warning you. Countless, it must be thousands of times that I've declared the word of God amongst you here in the town of Stafford. For as far as I'm aware, you have not yet taken heed to the warning. Your soul is not yet delivered. But you see, every time that you hear the word of God, however short or long, however much or however little, it matters. No, matters not. The solemn words of the Bible. Maybe the times that you've been to somebody's funeral service and you've heard the word of God proclaimed. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. As many times as you've heard the word of God, you have been warned solemnly, because there is a great danger, my friend.
I think you're full of shit.
Oh, do you?
No, ma'am.
Okay, well, I'm not.
Okay.
So that's your argument gone out the window. Yeah?
Why?
You're wrong again.
Why am I wrong?
Because I'm not. I'll follow the truth. The truth that will set you free, young man.
Why have I conquered cancer and then got it back again?
Say again?
Why is there a God?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And I've not believed all my life until 2 years ago, and now I believe in God and he's given me cancer back again.
But you don't believe in God.
No, I try.
But trying's no good. You can't do it yourself. God has to do it for you.
What do you think?
Okay, well, there you go. That's your problem. It's your unbelief. It's your unbelief.
All life is precious, yeah?
Yeah.
So
right.
Why did you fucking the dinosaur?
Why what?
Why was the dinosaur? Why did he extinct now?
Why did he extinct the dodo?
Man did that.
Man did not extinct the dinosaurs too. Man did the dinosaur. Bad things happen to bad people.
Yeah. I'm not a bad person.
Oh, you are. God says so.
God says I'm a bad person.
Yeah, very bad. Very, very bad.
We're
all bad. We're all bad. We're all very, very bad.
Why am I bad?
How are you doing, sir?
Why am I bad?
You believe us, sir?
Why am I bad? Because I'm homeless.
Come and talk to me, sir.
God says I'm bad.
Yep, we're all bad. That's the problem. Bad. We've got a bad heart. You got a bad heart and a bad record. And unless that bad heart is changed by the power of God, unless that bad record is cleared. See, you know, a man comes to me full of drink and he tries to tell me he's a good person. You know, not there's anything wrong with man having a drink, but you know what I mean? Arguing against God and unbelief. You know, and he says, you're not a bad person. How do you work that out? You reckon be a good person? Everybody seems to be these days. Well, how many lies you told? How many times you lusted after the opposite sex? Ever stolen anything big or small? You see, there goes your perceived goodness. There's none of us good, says God. Not even a single one. We're all bad people with bad hearts and bad records, and that's the danger that I'm trying to help you to avert. Because he that taketh heed to the warning shall deliver his soul from such a state and condition. God has made it clear in his word, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. And do you not live in a nation that has absolutely and totally, from the top of it to the bottom, forgotten God? The Russian author Solzhenitsyn tells me that he examined the Russian Revolution up one side and down the other. He spent years doing it. He did lectures. He wrote books, volumes on the subject. And he said, I could only come to one conclusion in the end. We forgot God. And that resulted in the death, the suffering, untold suffering and death of millions and millions of people. What will it take to waken this nation of yours up? What will it take to waken you up? Huh? God got to send some kind of storm.
Sir, what? You told me God's made everyone bad. Why?
I said, what's it again?
You told me, Jules.
Yeah.
That God said everyone is bad.
Yes, I did. That's right. We've all got bad hearts, bad records, yeah? Because we've all offended God. Yeah?
Why have I offended God?
Well, you just a few moments ago, what did you say to me? You told me he didn't even exist.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. If I told you you didn't exist, wouldn't that be an offence to you?
No.
Oh, okay. You don't exist. Bye bye. Well, say again. What's the problem?
If you believe that, God, if you believe that, God, if you believe that,
I didn't judge Emily.
You're always in a bunch of
buttons. Huh?
That's responsible.
No, I'm just reporting. I'm just a messenger. I'm reporting what God says.
I've read the Bible twice.
Have you? That's good. We'll read it again. And ask God to give you light. Ask him to help you to understand it. Yeah? So like you say, friends, you know, it's...
I'll tell you something, friends.
What's that? Am I your friend?
Are you in disbelief?
No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. God gave me the gift of faith. He gave me the gift. You see that? When you said to me earlier that you didn't believe, you can't believe, you tried to believe, but you can't, it's because God hasn't given you the gift, sir. You have to ask God for it.
It's a gift of God. Give it me.
Well, get on your knees and do it again and again and again, and don't give up until
God,
he gives it to you.
Give me the gift.
But you don't believe that he is. So like you say, friends, you know, it's a big problem, you know. The nation, you know. The nation that forgets God, you know. The wicked shall be turned into hell. And all the nations that forget God. So what will the end of this, your nation, be? Entrenched in unbelief, in wickedness. Lawlessness grows on your street by the day. What will it take to waken you up out of your slumber and get you to listen to the warning of the coming wrath of God upon this nation, upon you as an individual, if you do not repent and believe the gospel? He that taketh heed to the warning shall deliver his soul. And how many times have preachers of the gospel come to you on the streets of your towns and cities here in the town of Stafford and warned you of the coming wrath of God, warned you of the danger, the exposure that is yours to eternal death if you do not repent and believe the gospel? How many times have you been warned, maybe by a faithful Christian? What about the reproaches of your conscience? Your very conscience testifies with me that God is. Because your conscience is God's moral agent. It tells you. You know, if your pet dog bites you in the back of the leg, I guarantee your pet dog will not have a sleepless night over it. You give it some food and it'll go to sleep peacefully. But you do harm to some other person, you will not sleep peacefully because your conscience will bother you. Your conscience either approves or disapproves of your deeds. Your conscience, you see, is an inbuilt warning system. It warns you of the danger. And your conscience testifies with me here today, not only that God is, but that you are indeed a bad person and not the good person that you profess claim to be. There's none good, none righteous as God. No, not one. None who understands, none who seeks after God. Your conscience alarms you at times. It distracts you. It points the finger at you. It accuses you. Your own conscience. Why? Because you've done wrong. That's why. Because you're a bad person just like the rest of us. Not a good person at all. And in danger in danger, I tell you, exposed to eternal death, to the eternal flames of God's wrath as a result of your sin. And every time you've heard the word of God and striven against the word of God, rejected the word of God, hardened your heart in unbelief and in rebellion against God, hardening yourself even more, putting yourself in greater and graver danger than ever. The word of God in the Bible, God says, my spirit will not always strive with man. God strives with you today, causes you to hear the warning, causes you to hear the word of God, the word of promise, the word of life, the word of salvation once again. But what will you do with it? Harden yourself yet again in disbelief? And put yourself further and further away from God's redemption. What will you do with it? He that taketh heed to the warning shall deliver his soul. Spirit of God comes to you in the proclamation of the word of God, seeking to convince you of the reality of your sin. Not that that should take much convincing, but he does. Oh yes, you'd all acknowledge, you know, that we've all done things wrong, things that we regret, things that, you know, maybe we shouldn't have done. That's not quite the same as being convinced that you're a deceitfully hearted and depraved sinner before God and on your way to perdition. Not the same thing, but God's Holy Spirit, through the proclamation of the gospel, comes and seeks to convince you of the reality of your sin, the reality of God's righteousness, which you stand in need of, the righteousness that God has revealed in the gospel of His Son Jesus Christ, the only righteousness that's acceptable to God, because your righteousness, God says, are like filthy rags in His sight, untouchable by God. For God is of purer eyes than to behold evil. So how could He possibly look upon such as you in your sin, and in sin's nature, never been born again, never had your heart circumcised, never been brought to love Jesus and hate your sin, hate iniquity and rebellion, seeking to convince you of the judgment that's coming? It's of no consequence to you, the warning that I bring to you. Or so it would appear, at least anyway, to me, outwardly looking. You see, I cannot even give you one single anxious thought about your sin. Only God can reveal this to you. Only God, by His Holy Spirit, can bring you, you know, to an understanding, a fearful, trembling understanding, that you stand on the very verge of eternal destruction, the flames of hell. And you die, you breathe your last, and you fall over for all eternity. Yeah. It's just a joke. Just a joke. It's just a myth, just a fairy tale to you. That's your unbelief. That's the place that you've brought yourself to. By your sin, your iniquity, your lawlessness, your rebellion against Almighty God. And unless He comes, not just me, unless God Himself comes to you and convicts you of the reality of these issues, sin, righteousness and judgment, I tell you, you will never take heed to the warning. But he that taketh heed to the warning shall deliver his soul. You see, the judgments of God are recorded in the Word of God. You have the old world in which Noah lived for 120 years. A preacher of righteousness, Noah, proclaimed the coming judgment of God. But just like yourselves in Stafford today, no one took any heed. No one saved his own family. And they all perished, of course. They mocked and they laughed. They jeered and they sneered. Look at stupid old Noah building that boat and not a drop of water to be seen anywhere. Until the water came down, that is. Until the water came up. Until the world was flooded. Then they all wanted into Noah's ark, but it was too late. You're going to leave it too late. You're going to leave it too late. Not many deathbed conversions, you know. There are some, there are one or two. There's the record of one, a thief who died on the cross alongside the Savior Jesus Christ. He turned at the last moment and he got paradise. But there's not many. There's not many deathbed conversions. Now is the time. Now is the accepted time, says God. It's now that you must turn. A mockery son will take you to the damnation of hell. Repent and believe the gospel. There's another story of God's judgment. And that was a bunch of youths who mocked the gospel preacher. And God sent a bear and he mauled and killed every single one of these foolish youths. And you got plenty of them in Stafford today, have you not? So like I say, the Bible is replete, you know, with the judgments of God in the ancient world. Time and time again, God came even to his own people Israel and judged them. Well, if God should so deal with his own people, if they did not escape the judgment, the righteous judgments of God, how do you think you, in your atheistic, godless unbelief, how do you think you will escape? Well, I tell you, you will not. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Answer, you shall not. Cannot. But he that taketh heed to the warning shall deliver his soul. What about your world today? What about the storms? What about the earthquakes? One writer in the New York Times just a week or two ago, when I was in the United States of America, he said, it's as if God is angry with us. Can you imagine somebody from the media actually getting it right? Angry? He's furious with you in your unbelief. Your suppression of the truth. He's furious with you. And the day is coming when you will face the final, consummate, absolute fury of God. If you do not take heed to the warning. If you do not repent and believe the gospel. If you do not turn and receive the grace and the love and the kindness of God offered to you in the gospel. You see, if the warning's to be heeded, well, you must need to take serious attention to what God says. Pay serious attention, you know, to turn to God's word and learn for yourself. Don't just take my word for it. You got Bibles galore. Read the Word of God for yourself and see that what I say to you is so, according to the Word of God, how it will be in the end times, how God will finish this world up. And asking yet another question of you, in the light of these things, what kind of a person ought you to be? Ought you to be doing the things that you ought not to be doing? That you are doing, living in unbelief, and all that comes from that cesspit of a heart of yours of unbelief. There's a day of accountability. is the day when you stand before God and you give account. Jesus says, for every idle word that you speak, every idle word that you speak, you will give account of. So you see, in the same way, in the same vein, that you've paid serious attention to your sinful pleasures, your darling sins, your lusts, chasing after them, no expense spared, you know, all the time in the world for your sinful pleasures, but no time for God. Well, you got to put that into reverse thrust, and you've got to give serious attention to the things that God would say to you from His Word. And you've got to take them on board in faith, believing, trusting the truth of God that comes from the God who does not and cannot lie, who speaks the truth to you and who warns you in love, in order that you might come to experience, know and enjoy His love, and not just for time but for all eternity, that you might become the recipient of eternal life instead of being exposed to eternal death. Oh, he's trying to frighten us now. You say, no, I couldn't do that if I tried. No, that's not the exercise, friends. That's not my purpose. I cannot frighten you. Only God can do that. But you ought to be. You really ought to be. Now, friends, I don't come to frighten you. I'm simply telling you the truth. I'm simply telling you I'm just the messenger. I didn't invent the message. It's God's Word. I simply bring the warning to you as instructed by God, that you might repent. No, you do that, sir. You do that. Because God will hold you to account for that word, sir. No, friends, I simply come and tell you the truth. You accept it or you reject it. That's down to you. Maybe not. Maybe it's down to God. If He will grant you, if He will give you the repentance that you need, if He will grant you the change of mindset, you know, change your world view, enable you to see that this is God's world, God's air that you breathe, God's earth that you stand upon, that you might come to see the danger that you're in, and that you might repent, that you might turn from your wicked way, and in faith believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Takes an earnest faith, you see. Oh, I know there's plenty of people in Stafford who tell you that they believe in Jesus, but it doesn't appear to have changed their lives much. It doesn't appear to have changed their direction very much. You go to their churches. You go to their churches and, well, you could ask them the question. You could ask them, well, what is this gospel? Tell me. Tell me, what is the gospel? I tell you, I declare to you, if you get an answer, it will be the wrong one. So what is the gospel? It's this, friends. Christ died for sinners. Christ died for the ungodly. Christ, the person, Jesus, the Son of God, died, shed His blood on the Roman cross that you might be forgiven, washed, and go to heaven. And who did He do it for? He did it for the ungodly, those who in nature and practice are contrary to God. Christ died for the ungodly. That's the gospel, and that alone is the gospel. Oh, your churches in Stafford will sing. They'll sing for you till the cows come home. Wall to wall music. They'll feed you, clothe you, do all manner of things for you. But they won't tell you the truth. They won't warn you of the impending danger. They won't warn you about the wrath to come. They won't tell you about your state in sin. They won't tell you that you need to repent and believe the gospel. They gave up on that a long time ago. My friends, I tell you, I warn you, because he that taketh heed to the warning shall deliver his soul. That is, if he earnestly, that is, if he truly believes, takes God at his word, his every word, from beginning to end, Genesis to Revelation, the creation of God in 6 24-hour periods. God brought the universe into being, heaven and earth, and made mankind. And the God who tells us in the Apocalypse, the Revelation, that he's going to destroy that creation and bring in a new heaven and new earth in which will only dwell the righteous. There will be no ungodly. There will be no unrighteous. There will be no sin, no wickedness there. But if you are to be a part of that new heaven and that new earth, you must needs, first of all, you must repent and believe the gospel. You must believe the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be saved, and then to live in grateful obedience, gratitude, thankfulness. One of the reasons why the Bible says the wrath of God is upon you, because you are unthankful. Huh? You eat the food that he supplies for you. You drink his water. You take all the good things that God gives you to enjoy. When was the last time that you thanked him for them? Ever? Ever? Now you see, friends, ingratitude, that stinks in the nostrils of God. You know what it's like when people are ungrateful? You know, you go into the shopping mall and you hold the door open for somebody and they just walk through like you just were not there. They don't even nod their head. They don't even say thank you. What if you bought your kids a whole load of great gifts, you know, Christmas time or birthday time or whatever, you know, and you think they'll be so happy, they'll be so grateful, and they don't even give you a thankful? Wouldn't that be rather obnoxious to you? And yet you live in God's world, you take all God's goodness, and you never even say, thank you, Lord. Huh? What do you think God will do to such a people as that? Huh? Unbelieving, ungrateful. But if a person truly believes in Jesus, they live in grateful obedience. They spend the rest of their lives and all of eternity saying, thank you, Jesus, for dying for me, for shedding your blood for me, forgiving me eternal life, forgiving me hope and joy and peace. You cannot but live in grateful obedience to God's word. Not perfectly. None of us who claim to be perfect, not at all. We're still sinners, but we're forgiven. We're forgiven, and that's why I bring the warning to you. Because unless you are forgiven now in this world, you will not be forgiven in the hereafter. There is no such place as the Roman Catholic purgatory. It does not exist. There are only two destinations mentioned in the Bible, heaven and hell. It's one or the other. There are no second chances. While you walk this earth and breathe God's air, you have the opportunity, and it's given you today, to hear the word of God, to hear the warning of the wrath to come. And it's for you to flee into the arms of Jesus and escape the wrath to come. Well, you have the breath of life in you. wonderful friends. I hope, I pray, my colleague and I, we pray for you, that God would give you the ability to heed the warning, cause it to be effective to you and in you, that you might be delivered from the guilt, the condemnation of your sin, that you might be justified, made right with God, delivered from sin's bondage and its misery, delivered from its eternal consequences. And so we implore you to flee from the wrath to come, as the Bible says you ought to do, into the arms of Jesus, the only Savior. Oh, that you would come to a realization of the preciousness of your soul. He that taketh heed to the warning shall deliver his soul. But then I guess if you don't believe that you have a soul, that won't be any trouble to you. But God says that you do. And God says that your soul will end up in eternal sufferings if you do not pay heed to his warning, if you do not take his warning seriously and repent and believe the gospel. Death is approaching. And for some of you, sooner, maybe perhaps rather than later, and judgment is inevitable. So be warned now. Take heed to the warning. Deliver your soul from death. Eternal death. Turn from your sin. Repent and believe the gospel. That's the first recorded words of Jesus. In the New Testament, you want to read the words for yourself. Gladly give you a free copy of Mark's Gospel. You can read them there. First words that he uttered, as recorded here, repent ye and believe the Gospel. Why? Because the Kingdom of God is at hand. The Kingdom of God's grace and love and power is at hand. And the only way you can enter it is in the way of repentance and faith towards Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So friends, do what Jesus says. Do what Jesus says. Repent and believe the gospel. Stafford, repent and believe the gospel. For the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. That's the wise thing to do. You'd like a copy of God's Word, it's offered to you free of charge. No cost, no obligation to you. Yours take and do with as you will. But it's God's Word, it's precious. Most precious gift that one person can give.